I think this is interesting. It's a story out of Yale, and perhaps you've seen it. It's been in the news for a couple of days, but hasn't gotten a ton of attention. I just find it intriguing. And also, it's one of those stories that runs on a fault line. That is, that there are certain issues where we just, there's a good thing to fight about there, and we have an instinctive sense of which side we're on. I love these topics. The EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, along with doctors at New Haven Hospital, are suing the hospital for repeated acts of age discrimination against hospital staff. Now, here's the so-called discrimination. The lawsuit claims the neurological memory tests that Yale has conducted on their doctors age 70 and over are illegal and discriminatory. The lawsuit cites the Americans with Disabilities Act, which says it's a violation to administer a test on an employee solely based on age. Yale New Haven Hospital employees under the age of 70 have not been required to take these memory tests. 141 healthcare providers between the age of 69 and 92 were evaluated in Yale's three-year program. They concluded that 13% of the healthcare workers had severe memory problems and were either required to be supervised at work or were asked to retire. Now, to me, testing and asking older people to either retire or be supervised because they don't have the cognitive abilities or memory abilities that they once did or that are necessary to do the job, that sounds to me like logic. And I've never liked these laws. I don't like the federal government passing big laws about things like Americans with Disabilities Act. I don't like it. They're huge institutions that make big societal change without a lot of democratic involvement. That's how I feel about it. So this, I'll just recap it. I want to get your feedback. 860-522-9842. What they're doing at Yale is testing older doctors to see if they've lost their marbles. And that's illegal. But should it be illegal, or should not the power rest in the employer to make sure that when doctors are going into the operating room, say, for example, to perform surgery, that they've got the ability to, that their memories are still good enough. Like they remember that they got all the scalpels out, right? 860-522-9842. I favor the power of the hospital to test the older doctors. Now, you shouldn't be able to discriminate against people for being old. That is, hey, I don't like old people, leave. That would be discrimination. But saying that because you're a woman, you can't lift as much weight, so you can't do that job that requires the ability to lift weight, or because you're old, you can't remember as well, and this job requires an acute and fine memory, then you can't do it, or you need to be super. That, to me, is the responsibility of the hospital. Your take, please. 860-522-9842. Sean, hi, you're on WTIC.
Hey, Todd. One of the things I think that Bernie Sanders is missing is not everyone who supports him or has supported him necessarily agree with his policies. There's a lot of people who are very disenfranchised, but they hate the system, and they view Bernie Sanders as not part of the system.
And what do you mean by that? Because he's doesn't believe in it? Is that what you mean?
No, they're saying, like, you know, it's the same reason why Donald Trump got elected, because people know that the system is filled with swamp people. They think it's unfair. They think people cheat the system. They think, you know, they hate crony capitalism.
And how's Bernie fit into that?
He was the candidate in 2016. That was not the establishment. And he has made the mistake thinking that people have supported him because of what his policies are.
Ah, I get you now.
And this is a key, and I talk to people all the time like you do, and a lot of people who have supported Bernie Sanders, they talk about this. They're not lefties. They don't hate America. They're not communists. They feel the system's rigged, And there's that's why a lot of them voted for Donald Trump after the DNC did the job to him.
Okay, so we could put it like this, that Bernie was successful last time because he had Trump-like qualities. He felt like a rebellious vote, and now he's positioning himself more as a mainstream candidate, and that's a mistake?
No, he's going back to the same old points, but the world has changed. Look at where Bernie Sanders was and where the country was when Obama was at the end of his presidency.
But Bernie's still more radical than the country, so in that way he's still ahead of us, isn't he?
Let's put it this way. There was a much higher unemployment rate, and people were just looking for jobs. They're angry at the system. Mm-hmm. They don't like the outsourcing. So Bernie Sanders was a natural place to go.
Okay, and now?
To be angry. But now Donald Trump has, and the Republicans had 2 years. They have turned the economy around. Unemployment's down. The numbers are better. They're not, nothing's great yet, but they've improved. So for Bernie Sanders to go back to the same old class warfare and all the same stuff that he talked about 4 years ago, that customer's not there the way it was.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
There's more opportunity.
Good thought, Sean. Thank you for that. Interesting. Justin Wallingford, hi, you're on WTIC.
Hey, Todd. I think you're pretty on the spot with where, Yale is. They should be allowed to do it because age is at a certain point, and yes, every individual decays differently, but people start decaying at a certain point, and that is just fact.
Yes, it is. And isn't the
the purpose of the testing is that these things statistically start at a certain point. And so you could say that at a certain age, it's prudent to start testing because this is where the faculties start to noticeably decline.
Yep. But isn't the burden if you're
15% is a huge number. That is huge. That isn't, we're not talking about some small blip.
A big chunk of people over 69 who aren't performing up to snuff. And don't they have a high burden of responsibility at a hospital where people are doing surgery?
Teaching positions by that point. They should be supervisors and teaching and making sure everything's being done right. But it's highly likely they should be trying to, train other people up to where they were when they were the prime experts in their field.
Justin, thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. We'll talk more about it after news. Yeah, WTIC, we're talking about a story out of the Yale hospital and the idea that they should be somehow interfered with by the government because they are testing people over 69, 70 to make sure they're competent to be doing things like surgery. Hallelujah to that, I say, but the federal government is dealing with a lawsuit because there is federal law that says that is age discrimination. Right or wrong, what is your feeling on that? Mike calling from Hartford. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, there should be more discrimination, Todd. Look at the women's suffrage in the 20s. For 150 years, the country was strong. The republic was strong because women weren't allowed anywhere near a voting place. And this lesbian lady up in West Seneca, New York, Susan B. Anthony, says women want the right to vote. And then the men, of course, caved to the ladies who threatened them with being cut off. And look what we got now. We got the squad. We got all these despicable women in high office. Look at how many women in high office.
So I assume you're being satirical, Mike. Are you being satirical?
Okay. Yeah, you got me, Todd. See, just like Limbaugh on July 3rd of 2012, go listen to the podcast. He proved what Ann Coulter proved, and that is that the republic started to die
All right, Mike, thank you for the call. Even if the republic does go in a direction we don't like because we are doing something we should be doing, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. Bob in Enfield. Hi, Bob.
How you doing? I want to answer your question in jail, but are you familiar with the World War II walkie-talkies? At the end of World War II, the GIs were in the signal corps. They wanted to develop wireless telephones. Well, the investors told them, what a stupid idea. That'll never work and never sell. But Are you familiar with Dick Tracy?
I never met Dick Tracy, no.
Tracy. Well, it's a cartoon character. Let me close my thoughts with that. But what I'm thinking about Yale would protect their liability. If something went wrong, they should test all their workers.
But why should they be forced to do that?
Well, because the liability issue, when they go
but that's
the law,
they've got the liability issue worked out, apparently, to their own comfort, and they do that by discriminating based on age in a way that seems to make sense.
No, I'm not saying go by age. All
I know they're going by age, and I'm saying that's a good idea. I mean, the dispute is over whether they're doing something wrong by testing older people and not younger people.
Well, that is wrong, but they should be testing everybody.
Why is that wrong?
Because the liability issue.
Bob, you're inventing a new part to the conversation that isn't helpful. The liability is up to them. They're comfortable, apparently, with where their liability is at, as apparently their insurance company is. The fight is over whether they have a right to test older people because older people start to lose their cognitive abilities. 860-522-9842. What do you think about that? Join us on WTIC. All right, just a recap, a little recap here, which is required, I think, because, well, these stories are complicated. I want to make sure you get it. The Yale New Haven Hospital has been sued by the EEOC and by some people, some employees, because they automatically have been putting people over the age 70 or over into certain testing situations because they believe based on age there could be a hazard in which certain workers, doctors and others at the hospital, are suffering vision deficiencies and cognitive deficiencies. So they test them based on age. And they've been sued on the argument that that is illegal under federal law, under the Americans with Disabilities Act. That you can't base it on age. That's discrimination. You have to base it on a suspicion, i.e. as a result of evidence that the doctor is underperforming or maybe having problems. Now, that seems crazy to me, and government overreach and the danger of having the federal government making these big sweeping laws that stand in the way of decisions being made at the smallest, most local point. You want Yale New Haven Hospital to be responsible for its doctors being able to do the work. You don't want them to say, oh, we know because of your age you might be, you are more likely to be suffering some cognitive decline or other decline, motor skills, what have you. Therefore, we're going to test you automatically. That seems to me to be their responsibility. What do you think? 860-522-9842. Makes sense to me. Raul and Granby. Hi, Raul.
Hi. How you doing, Todd? Listen, I'm calling about that because it hit home with me. Because that was the case with my father-in-law, who was 80 years old. And if the hospital, you know, had done that, it would have been fine. We had a lot of doctors who wanted to do all these things with this man, and he was suffering from a severe case of Alzheimer's and dementia, so the man couldn't even make up a decision on his own. And my wife had to intervene because doctors wanted to do all of these things to this man, and especially one was talking about heart surgery or something like that. Well,
wait, who is this man? You're referring to this man.
My father-in-law.
Your father-in-law was suffering cognitive decline at age 81. Is that what you're saying?
Right. But there were some doctors who were still insisting in doing these procedures that this man was not going to be able to either comprehend or even survive. So
you think because of his age, they should have made a decision automatically to at least test him to see if he was able to deal with these things?
Right, and it wouldn't have taken much because of the extent of his disease. It would have taken just an intern to realize that this man was not in any position to make any decisions.
But it sounds like what you're saying is they were deliberately ignoring obvious evidence because they were concerned about stepping on a legal territory.
No, I think they were deliberately ignoring some signs to deal with other issues. And I know that that's not in every case, but in this case it was.
All right, Raul, thank you for making the point. So the problem here is that we want people to be able to use their eyes, ears, and what have you, logic, to make the world as safe as possible. And while it's also bad for people to be discriminated against, you're not being discriminated against if after a certain age they look at you more carefully. For example, when you go to get your license renewed, I don't know what Connecticut does. Are renewals more frequent after 80, after 90, after 100, or do you just let people drive forever? 860-522-9842. So to me, this is a question of logic, and we should have a legal system that doesn't require not doing what's logical. For example, there's the controversy right now about the lawsuits filed over transgender athletes. It's not logical to have transgender girls competing in sports against biological girls. That's just not logical. It's not about discrimination. It's unfair because a transgender girl is not biologically the same as a biological female. Similarly, this law, this idea that it's discriminatory to test an older person because they're older and the odds are higher that they would suffer some decline in their skills as a doctor, say, at Yale New Haven Hospital, why should there be a law making that illegal? Is that not nuts? George calling from St. Louis. Hi, George.
Hi, Todd. I'd like to address that Yale testing.
Did you say address?
That Yale testing for senility, for mental impairments.
Mental and physical, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that should apply to U.S. presidents, senators.
Why? There's nothing about being president that requires you be all there.
Especially Supreme Court justices. And, by the way, military generals and officers, that should apply to them as well.
If you had to choose, hang on one sec, though, George. If you had to choose between your president being tested for lucidity, or the surgeon who's going to, say, put the heart valves in your body, which do you think is more important?
I'd say the government jobs are more important because it affects more people.
Yeah, I don't care, though. More.
Yeah, we're talking about millions rather than one person here. So, yeah, this should apply to especially government jobs.
Well, I don't like your angle on that. Government jobs, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but the example of the president is really acute because if you give government the power, this is a little sideline, but I just want to throw it in. If you give government the power to test medically whether somebody is able to do the job of president, don't you think we would have a little suspicion? And rightly so, when they decided that somebody was unfit. Don't you think they'd be saying Donald Trump was unfit?
That would show up in a test. You know, if you would say someone's mentally impaired, that would show up in some sort of testing. And there again, who decides?
Exactly.
The chief executive officer.
Exactly.
And who makes the decision?
Exactly. You can't trust somebody to make that decision.
I would think it would. Again, that would be like an impeachment again. That would be
exactly
mental impairment.
Well, that's your proposal. Your proposal that the president be tested to make sure he's not too old to be president is effectively giving a little team of doctors the power of impeachment, unelected doctors. And just in terms of how we view our government, our form of government, and I just want people to understand that you have to have an adequate. Why is everyone hanging up? I'm going to take your calls right now. We just got three people just hung up. 860-522-9842. We can't trust. There's so much power there you can't trust. That's the point I wanted to make. Let's talk to Joe in Simsbury. Hi, Joe.
Hi there. I didn't hang up.
Well, thank you, sir. I didn't accuse you of that. I just said three people hung up in that instant.
I did forget why I called, though, in my old age.
Well, do you want us to take notes next time you call so we can tell you?
Sure, that would be.
You wanted to talk about the Yale story, but you had a different angle on it.
I think I do. So yesterday there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that talked about the problems that businesses are having now with young people and the amount of mental illness that they're claiming and the accommodations that businesses have to make for these people.
You mean because of the medical benefits that they're sucking up by claiming themselves to be mentally ill? Or is that what you're referring to?
Yes. The thing that, I can't go to a meeting, I suffer from anxiety, stuff like that.
There's a lot of this going on.
So my feeling is that Yale is fully within their rights to do the testing of these people. However, if you're going to make accommodations for people who are just starting out in the workplace because they have mental illness, then you should, if you find someone who is not capable of doing the job that they used to be able to do, you should have to make an accommodation for them if they want to continue to work. And as long as it doesn't impact patient care in a negative way, I just think that after 40, 50 years of working, you deserve to have that accommodation. If you're going to give an accommodation to a whole swath of young people now that were raised to be afraid of every single thing in the world, and they're putting a lot.
So what's the? I don't know what you mean when you're saying accommodation. What should happen with the older workers?
They should not be tested. Yeah.
No, they should not be.
I think if they're medical professionals, then they would recognize that if there's medical studies that show that there is a risk, then they should embrace that. But if you're a surgeon, for example, and they find that you can't do the surgeries you're supposed to, then you should no longer practice surgery, but you should be.
But the issue is about doing the test. Does the hospital have the right to do the test based on age?
Not based on age, it's got to be based on research in their own medical community that has shown that doing the test makes sense for the protection of patients.
Really? Okay, Joe. Thank you for that. So Joe's on the side of worrying about the doctor's ego more than your safety. And that's, to me, the crux of this thing. What are your feelings about it? Larry in Willington. Hi, Larry.
Hello. So I've been listening for about a year now. This is the first time I've called in. I was listening the other day, and someone commented about how there's all these trucks going through the state. And they kind of want a piece of, you know, the trucking that's just going through the state.
Yes.
And they think tolls would be the best way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But are they unaware that there's a fuel tax for every mile driven through the state and every company has to pay fuel taxes towards the state at the end of the year?
Probably not.
Well, if they're looking to get more money out of companies that just drive through the state, they could always just raise the fuel tax instead of putting in place this huge system that's going to cost us tons of money and not yield us a lot.
Well, they would raise any tax they could. They would think they would get away with. The arguments are phony arguments, and the intents are hidden and covered up with lies. So you're right to attack the logic of their arguments because their arguments aren't logical. They're just self-serving and mercenary. Thank you for clarifying, Larry. 860-522-9842.
All my wolves begin to howl, wake me up, the time is now. Whoa, can you hear the trumpet? Whoa, there's a revolution coming. Wild things that turn me on.
WTIC, good evening. Yes, the question is about discrimination. The accusation is that Yale Hospital is discriminating against doctors over 70. 70 and over, by testing them to see if they're still up to snuff. Well, I like that idea of testing logically, rationally, fairly, by testing everybody based on age rather than what the lawsuit from the EEOC says. The EEOC says that it's discrimination to be logical. Instead, why not do something more dangerous and wait till you see symptoms of somebody unable to perform? And what would happen if you had to wait for symptoms? What would the dangers be there if you had to wait for symptoms of somebody getting on in years, maybe not being up to snuff anymore? Don't they have that a little mixed up, don't you think? 860-522-9842. Hello there, you're on WTIC.
Hey, what is that little jingle song they play every now and then?
Which one? Sing it for us.
What with a bunch of kids singing on it? What? It sounds like Indians, a group of Indians.
I don't know. That what one that we just heard?
Just played it.
Da 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 da. That one?
Yeah. What is that?
That's the Indians opening our program. Do you like it?
You're a comedian too.
I don't know what to tell you. We play songs once in a while, you know, and sometimes they don't do exactly what you want them to do, I guess. Thanks for the call, though, sir. 860-522-9842. It is the last hour on Fridays, and we do kind of a Philosophy Friday fun sort of thing, which we will continue with this Yale New Haven Hospital story, and I've got others to throw in there as well. WTIC. So we're still working this good Philosophy Friday story. Shouldn't the philosophy of the government be hands off? Shouldn't the philosophy of our society be that it's not discrimination in a bad way? It's good discrimination. If you are testing people logically, say they're 70 years old or over, if you put extra scrutiny on them based on age to make sure they're still able to handle a scalpel with great skill at age 75 or 80, say. Just as, by the way, producer Mike brought this up, good point, we do have rules that say you can't drive a car until a certain age. Why do we do that? Because we want to discriminate based on age in a rational way. Why do we say you can't drink to a certain age? Because we want to discriminate. Discrimination is good. Being discriminating is good. Somehow they've demonized this thing. What do you think of all this? Alan Bloomfield. Hello there, Al. How have you been?
Oh, I'm doing well. I mean, that's easy for you to say if you're not 68 or 69 or 70. But if you're going to apply that same matrix, you should apply it to everybody. As I said before, if you're going to apply that matrix, then every white male between 18 and 40, which is known that that's the group that's profiled for committing the most mass murder and child abuse, then you should profile them on the job.
And how would you do that?
Well, the same way you're doing it to these doctors. You just arbitrarily do it because you're arbitrarily doing it to them and testing their skill set. Then the mental capacity of those people between 18 and 40, you should apply the same principles.
Well, I don't know that you've got a similar level of danger. So 13% of this group of 144 medical professionals who were tested over the age of 69 came out as problematic, 13%. So that's a high level of danger. The danger of any group of people being a mass murderer is almost impossible.
Well, we can apply the same principle. If you apply that principle, only 2% of policemen ever get involved in anything that's inherent and abuse of the public, only less than 2%. So if you're going to say even 2% is dangerous, then you need to test all policemen. So you better be careful when you go into that realm, because when you do, that opened the door to testing of everybody, including in your profession. You could say one word, and that's only 1% of what you say. You should be testing.
Well,
are you representing the public interest?
The issue here is a logical assumption of hazard to large numbers of people. If small numbers of people are allowed to continue a privilege, you don't want to take it away from them arbitrarily. You want to test them arbitrarily, and it's not arbitrary because it's equal to everybody. It's done fairly. The problem would be if you were only testing some people, it seems to me, which is what the government wants, those who you suspect are having a problem. Thank you, though, Al. It's always good to get your ideas.
Arbitrarily.
James in Newington, turn that radio down, sir.
I did.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Hey, you know, look, what I'm calling about is, I know it's a while before we get to the Connecticut primary, but I do think that during the whole last election, we heard a lot about how the Russians interfering by posting fake news and fake ads on Facebook was going to destroy our democracy, and that's why we had to investigate President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time right now, there is a social media marketing company called Tribe, T-R-I-B-E, that is working for Michael Bloomberg, the Democratic candidate, and his campaign is paying $150 to any young person who is considered a social influencer on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter to post positive news or upload videos extolling his benefits to pretend that they have more support in the youth community. So I guess I'm just wondering why the national media does not seem to have a problem with fake ads and manipulating our election and buying votes by Michael Bloomberg, but they seem to really care a lot when the Russians were involved in their minds for Trump.
Well, that's let me consider that and see if there's any logic to it. It's an interesting idea, James. There is a social media campaign that Bloomberg's spending a ton of money on. Thank you for bringing that up. 860-522-9842, Philosophy Friday. We're talking about what's fair, what's right. Is it discrimination in a bad way for Yale New Haven Hospital to automatically take somebody who's 70 and up for renewal, or, you know, at a natural juncture where they're being considered, and give them tests that are unique to people who are over age 69 to make sure they're up to snuff in their ability to operate, to function in the job that they do? And this seems to me very logical and the kind of thing we should encourage, but it does seem to violate the Americans with Disabilities Act. The EEOC has filed a lawsuit along with some employees at the hospital. What are your thoughts on this? And we go to Cal, who is driving along, happily listening and ready to talk. Hi, Cal.
Yeah, it's actually Hal, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Hal.
That's not a problem. I'm calling... I love your show.
Thank you.
I listen to it as much as I can driving home from work, but... the thing that struck me today with your call with George of St. Louis was that you were both debating a point about government, and specifically from George's standpoint, the mm-hmm. president, and that they should be tested as well. Well, that means that you don't understand the Constitution, because the 25th Amendment to the Constitution has already been tried by the Democrats to get Trump out. And there's a way to declare a president incompetent, and that's how you deal with it. So if they truly were not able to do the job, they can write a letter and say, I'm unable to do the job, and then the vice president takes over. Or the vice president and a bunch of cabinet officers can get together and vote and say, and they send a letter.
Yeah, I was responding. I wasn't thinking about the 25th. I was thinking that he was suggesting that before we let somebody be president, or if somebody objects, I don't even know exactly how he thought his idea would be triggered, but I felt like he was suggesting something different, that we should somehow screen incoming presidents to make sure that they have the ability to do the job.
Well, in getting to the Yale New Haven thing, my disagreement with it is that if you're going to test for a cognitive ability to do a job or physical ability to do a job, then you should test everyone.
Why?
You shouldn't just test age 70 and over.
But if there is a group, if there is a group where you know there's a very low chance of them having a disability that you can't see, or a group that has a much higher chance, why wouldn't you discriminate against that group? Why isn't that the logical thing to do to protect people? Why waste the time and money to test everybody when you know that somebody 80 years old might have a, I'm just making this up, but they might have a 20 times higher chance of being impaired based on loss of abilities because of their age?
I agree with that, but pilots, for instance, have to be tested all the time because it's a very important job. And if they screw up, you die.
Mm-hmm. So you're arguing that because it's such, there's so much put on the shoulders of doctors, so much responsibility, that we should have higher standards and test everybody.
I do.
Okay. Thank you for that point. I understand you now, and it's an interesting twist on things. You're a creative thinker, Hal. Thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. Hal saying, let's be tougher on everybody and test everyone. But we don't, I mean, we do have an existing system that seems to be operating fine. And the hospital seems to be making a reasonable adjustment for people's ages. And that is that once you're in your 70s, actually before then, but they're drawing the line at age 70, that once you hit 70, you're in a unique group. You need to be watched more carefully. That's logical to me. I don't see a problem with them doing it. Do you? 860-522-9842. John, hello there.
Hi, John. How are you, Todd?
Thank you for the call, sir.
Good. Listen, the Judicial Department of Connecticut, they had a 70 retirement rule for their judges. And the judges challenged that, and they won. It's discriminatory. It's age discrimination. And they won that battle. And putting them on the same side as MDs or DOs, I think that's just as crucial. If a judge is haphazardly has some mental illness, he can make the wrong decision in a trial and cause a life sentence or maybe something other than that. But it's just as crucial to look at judges in the same way.
Well, it's not. I mean, you just made the point that it's not just as crucial. So if a judge makes a mistake, that can be subject to appeal to some kind of
reflection. But how many trials actually do that, Todd? I mean, look at this guy out in the West. He was vindicated after DNA test made him, that he didn't commit this murder. It takes years to do that. So I say if judges can get that discrimination, so can doctors. You know, it's just a matter of proving them incompetent.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I don't think there's a compelling argument because, first of all, judges are not making life and death decisions with their hands with their judgments in a moment.
A death sentence isn't a death sentence. That's life and death.
I guess you could make the argument on the death penalty, but generally,
how many of those judges have been proven wrong over the years?
Well,
with blacks being most
not very many have been proven wrong. They do overturn people's convictions based on DNA, but that DNA isn't necessarily proving them innocent. And I don't think it's a good comparison at all, as excited as you are by it. I don't see the hazard. Old doctors can also do a much better job because of their age. And you maybe have to test young ones for impetuousness. Jim in Cromwell. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to weigh in a little bit on this. I do believe pilots they age out at a certain age. I'm pretty sure commercial pilots do.
I think at age 70, maybe they do.
I think it's about 65. I don't even think it's as high as 70. I think not commercial pilots. I'm talking about like, you know, big planes.
Airline pilots, yeah.
Yeah, because I have a couple of customers that are retired pilots. They weren't ready to quit yet, but they maybe, and that could be an internal policy of the individual airlines as well. Okay, but then again, you look at judges, and in Connecticut, we retire judges and then we immediately hire them back per diem. Okay, and that, which is ridiculous. You have to be retired at a certain age. And we have a Supreme Court where you can be 110.
Yeah, I don't see the problem. That's a good example where they get very old and who cares. All right, sorry, we've got to pause right there. Thank you for the call. Yeah, it's my turn to talk. Hi, WTIC Todd here. Thank you so much for being part of the program. We're doing our Friday fun, Philosophy Friday thing. And the Philosophy Friday question right now is about age discrimination. I like logical discrimination. I think I've gotten some illogical arguments about why my position is wrong. But it seems that when there is a heightened danger to the public, it makes sense for private institutions to make market-driven decisions about when to intervene. So Yale New Haven Hospital steps in and says, let's give some extra testing to aging doctors when they hit age 70 to make sure they've still got the abilities. I would want to see everybody after a certain age getting tested like that in a position of critical importance. Life and death. I don't think a judge rises to that level. And judges get better in a lot of ways as they get older, whereas doctors, not necessarily so. There may be some ways, but those are more than mitigated by their loss of skills. Jim in Bristol, hi, you're on WTIC.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
So I'm going to put a couple of different spins on this. First of all, I think with the age discrimination thing, I think that a lot of it ends up being a personal aspect of, yes, I'm getting older and now I'm having to be tested. So I think that, yes, there's an aspect of, as far as the big picture, but then when it gets...
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. There's an aspect of what? That people feel that they're being wronged? Is that what you mean?
No. It's a personal aspect of me as an individual that, yes, I have to meet my own mortality.
Oh,
so
I see.
That's part of it.
Okay.
So the recognition that, yes, I may be at that point. So I think that's part of it. The other aspect of this is that I think that I find it ironic that the same institution, meaning Yale, that pumps out so many lawyers, turns around and is now feeding on itself, saying we have to now be sued by the same lawyers that we created. And I find that really kind of an ironic situation from that standpoint. And then I would guess that many of the lawyers that end up suing or being a part of this are the same ones they produced.
Well, so what? Some of them to defend them and others work against them. But that's just because they're a big player in a big world.
Absolutely. But if they were thinking, underline the word thinking, wouldn't you go and talk to these really smart people that they supposedly produced to understand what the ramifications were before they put this into place?
Well, they probably do. They've got their own internal lawyers. They decided this was in the best interest of them and the public, and now they're being sued by the federal government because the federal government's gotten too big and overreachy. It's an overreachy federal government. 860-522-WTIC.
Gotta change around here.
Gotta change around
Gotta
here.
Gotta change around here. Can't go on.
WTIC. I'm going to throw another question in here. We're still going to talk about Yale and discrimination. But I do have a proposal for Valentine's Day. I think you'll respond to it. It should be expanded. I think you'll respond to this favorably. I think Valentine's Day should be expanded to a week. Because what happens right now is there are lines a mile long at flower shops for roses that cost about 20 times what they're normally valued at. And at restaurants, I've been trying for days to get a reservation for my wife and I to go out to dinner, and I had no luck. Couldn't find an opening at any of the restaurants we favor. We ended up going out for lunch today. So why not expand Valentine's Day to a week to make it easier and cheaper on everybody? And also, it would give those businesses a chance to make a little more money because clearly they can't meet demand. Your thoughts, 860-522-9842. That's my feeling. Let's expand. Well, you, no, I'm not even going to, you, I'm going to leave that to you. Stephen Waterbury, hi.
Hey, Todd. You know, I think if you love somebody, you don't have to have a special day to show them that. And, you know, if it's tomorrow or the day before or whatever, it shouldn't really make a difference.
Yes, but if you're married for 20, 30, 40 years. I was looking around the restaurant today, and most of the couples didn't look excited to be out to lunch with each other. Like they,
if you're married 30, 40, 50 years, that's a blessing, that's for sure.
Well, it is, but people also don't necessarily aren't necessarily alive to the blessing. They're more connected to the boredom.
Gotcha. What they called for originally, first of all, there's 3 points I'd like to make. One, there is age discrimination to become president of the United States.
I'm sorry, say it again?
There's age discrimination if you want to become president of the United States.
How do you mean? Because of the age in the Constitution?
You have to be at least 35 years old.
Yes, but that can't be legal. That can't be a legal problem because that's in the Constitution.
Well, I understand that, but still discrimination, isn't it?
Yes, and wise discrimination, don't you think?
Yes, I'm not disagreeing with it.
Yeah.
The other point I want to make out is that, you know, as far as age and, like, doctors or whatever, you know, somebody could have a neurological other or mental problems or whatever at a younger age, so I don't know why they would just pick, like, age 70. And it kind of goes into my next point that, many people get their driver's license here in Connecticut while they're 16. I know my eyes have been changing since I was 16. When I was 16, I was kind of borderline because I brought my glasses. They said, well, I'll go put you down for having glasses. And I could actually see better than a good friend of mine that wore some pretty thick glasses back then without my glasses.
Mm-hmm.
However, at this point now, if I was driving without my glasses and they put me down that I didn't need them, I could do it legally, but it would be very foolish for me to do that.
So your point is?
Well, that they only test your eyes once when you get your license, not when you renew it or whatever. So there's probably a lot of people that got their license 10, 20 or more years ago that really should be wearing glasses when they drive, but legally they can get away without it.
So you want to put a regular test, an update test in there?
I'm not saying I wanted to do that. I'm just pointing out that, you know, when you're out there as a driver, you want to be aware of that one.
Yes. But you know, one of the things, thank you, Steve, for the call. One of the things that comes to mind for me is that we're always looking for government to provide solutions, or government is suggesting to us that government needs to provide solutions. But if you look at driving, people who may not be required to wear glasses. I don't have a requirement to wear glasses, but I need them now, so I wear them. Because while I'm traveling down the road at 70 miles an hour, it makes me feel better if I can see things sharply instead of blurred. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like we don't need government actually to tell us that. I feel like we can deal with that decision ourselves. We don't need government stepping in and making rules about Yale New Haven Hospital and whether they test their older employees to make sure they still have all their faculties so that they can do a safe job of administering to their patients. You have any problem with that? So we're talking Valentine's Day. Let's make it a week or maybe even a month, but I'd like a week. And discrimination for the age of hospital professionals. You have a problem with what they did at Yale. 860-522-9842. Yes, so those are our two topics for Philosophy Friday. I believe Valentine's Day should be expanded so that there is a chance to properly celebrate it. It's too hard to get a reservation for dinner, and it's too busy at the chocolate store and the flower shop. And at the flower shop, they raise the prices incredibly. Really, it's you could probably buy a dozen roses every day for the rest of the month for the price of what it costs to buy those roses on Valentine's Day. Your thoughts, please. 860-522-9842. Alfonso, hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for the call, sir.
You're welcome. I'm calling about Valentine's week.
Okay. You like it?
First, I love it. I believe that a good woman should be placed on a pedestal every day. So
Would you chain her to that pedestal and never let her move?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
I guess that would be up to her, but no.
Okay,
the answer is no.
So you want as much time to honor her as possible? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it should be an ordinary event, and it should be an everyday event. But a special week is a wonderful thing. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can say women should be honored all the time, but I think the reason Valentine's Day was invented and became such a big hit is because women don't always feel appreciated, and they want an intervention to make sure they get a little more attention.
Well, yes, I'm sure. I would guess that most feel that way.
Really. And do you have an opinion on the discrimination conversation?
I didn't even hear it. I've just turned on the radio 5 minutes ago, and all I heard was Valentine's
Day.
Well,
thank you for being so responsive, Alfonso. I'm glad grabbed the phone and called.
Okay.
Are you doing anything for Valentine's Day?
The short answer is no, because I don't have a Valentine this moment.
Well, that's too bad. Shall we try right now to find
good days and bad days? Sure.
Do you want us to find one for you right now?
No, thank you, though.
Okay.
I'll handle that, but I appreciate the offer.
Have a great weekend, Alfonso. Thank you. That was a good answer. I will handle that. 860-522-9842. I love that. Sometimes it's frustrating, though, usually it's frustrating trying to find a Valentine. Mike in Meriden. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
So am I. There's a simple answer to your question about testing the doctors for their capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors require errors and omissions insurance. So if they screw up, there's somebody that's got to pay.
Yes.
And insurance companies charge $90,000, maybe more, per doctor. So if they do some testing on the doctors, that minimizes the risk. And that's why they do it.
Yes, it lowers, in other words, it keeps lower the cost for their doctors or for them to insure their doctors with malpractice insurance. So it's a smart business practice and one driven by the marketplace, which are the kinds of decisions we favor as opposed to top-down decisions coming from Washington. That's why this upsets me, because it's Washington intervening.
Yeah, there should be simple business decisions by businesses like Yale. Doctors have to adapt, and if they're not capable, they should be gone.
Yes. Thank you, Mike, for being so logical. And that's what struck me about this decision by Yale. It seemed like a very smart decision, seems reasonable, and nobody's being discriminated against. The time you might be discriminated against if you're a 75-year-old being tested because of your age at Yale to make sure that you're still able to be doing your hospital work and without putting your patient's safety in jeopardy. Well, that's just the smartest thing to do. Let me just say that. And let's talk to Jim in Colchester. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. You had an interesting proposal for Valentine's Day, changing that to a week.
Yes.
And I'm a big proponent that, you know, no one's tomorrow is guaranteed. So tell your loved ones that you love them today and treat every day like Valentine's Day.
Well, that would be expensive. A dozen roses costs a lot of money.
You don't always have to get a dozen roses.
But they want, at least once a year, they want the dozen roses. That's why there's Valentine's Day.
I think spending time with people is probably more value than flowers that are going to wilt in a couple days. But everyone's different.
Well, women are different. Why aren't women calling on this topic? Women, don't you want roses, chocolates, being taken out to dinner to a fancy restaurant? See, this is where I think you're missing the point, Jim, that women don't want the routine, what guys say. We think we're always providing enough love and support and affection, right? But they don't always think we are.
I don't know. Maybe I just lucked out. I got a very wonderful wife who appreciates the time we spend together, and you know, she says she doesn't need a fancy dinner. She's just as happy going to a ballpark and having a hot dog and enjoying a ball game.
Can you give me her phone number? I want to double check this with her. I guess not.
Sure.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much. Good to talk with you. We don't have time. Otherwise, I would put Jim on hold and get the phone number. But it's easy to miss the point on that. All right, I want to play you. I've decided to keep a best of Ned file, so I wanted to give you the weekly recap. This is just, I mean, I haven't really built this thing yet. This is just the last week and a half. This is Ned at his best.
Optimism is contagious. Optimism is contagious. Make a difference. The rest of our country is looking at Connecticut in a new light. So should you. All right, Connecticut, we got our mojo back.
I can't think of any. DMV, Bongi Magabani. Ever heard of her?
I have to provide context on this one, but it's my favorite. He's giving a speech in Waterbury midweek at the Chamber of Commerce. No notes. He's just talking off the top of his head, and he's trying to refer to the DMV, and he can't think of the name of the DMV, and he can't think of the name of Bongi, the commissioner of the Motor Vehicle Department. So this is him suddenly getting stuck and then remembering, oh, DMV, yeah, Bongi.
I can't think of any. DMV, Bongi. Bongi Magabani. Ever heard of her? Okay.
That laugh. I love that laugh. I love that laugh. And then he confuses the name of the TV show Face the State with the State of the State address he gave last week.
But she's amazing. I mean, I talked about her the other day at the Face the State and State of the State. And, you know,
he's losing it.